everyone. Welcome to Curiosity Killed the Cat. We're three curious friends.
That's us.
I'm Christy.
I'm Nash.
I'm Yvette. We'll be talking about all things paranormal, supernatural, creepy, spooky, and anything that makes you say, what the f***?
Hi, ladies. Welcome. How are you?
Hello, hello.
Good. Welcome.
Hi. Clink, clink, you guys. Another episode. Clink.
Yes.
Yeah, and then shout out to Jose, who's going to sponsor our new mixer. Jose, we're waiting for that Venmo to come through. we hope that you guys can hear the clarity in our sound. We got a mixer finally, so it sounds like Naya's in the room, even though she's not. We're still socially distancing.
Yes, even though I'm from the studio, but we sound like we're all together.
Yeah, so I hope you, Jose, can appreciate it. And we're waiting on your sponsorship money.
Thank you, Jose. I hope a ghost gets...
Thank you in advance. So I want to know, how was the mission in?
Oh, yeah. So I went, it was our anniversary, 11 years.
Oh, my goodness.
I know,
that's right? A long time.
That's a long ass time. Yeah. So we wanted to go to the mission in Riverside. Mm-hmm. And we had scheduled a couple's massage and everything, but they canceled it due to the new stay-at-home order that's in place. So we thought, okay, we're just going to go. It's beautiful. Like, I wish we would have gotten there earlier because we left so late in the evening. Mm-hmm. We didn't get there till like almost 8 o'clock. I just wish we would have taken advantage of like looking at it in the daylight because it's beautiful. I walked by room 215, the haunted room. I didn't feel anything, see anything. And we went and got our dinner, and I didn't really see anything. I didn't see anything, and I didn't feel anything in our room or around the place. But the place is gorgeous, for sure.
Yeah, you enjoyed the view.
Yeah, it's so pretty, and like there's different spiral staircases that take you to the top, and there's a lot of it. It reminds me a lot of Mexico. But it also, like, the architecture looks very European. Like, the pillars, it reminds me a lot of Paris also.
Really?
Yeah. So I was getting flashbacks. It's so pretty.
Aww.
So I told Leo, we have to come back at least for a full weekend. When the pool's open, we can bring the boys and have, like, our breakfast right here in the terrace. Because there's different, like, you know, seating areas where you can sit down up in the terrace and you can look out to the city. Super, super nice.
So it's that pretty. It looks pretty. It looks
really pretty.
So, Yvette for a second was like, I don't even know if we should go because of the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you guys went.
Because, I'm glad, yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's nice to get away, even just, you know, a night at a hotel. Like, why not? There's not much you can do to celebrate.
Yeah. It was fun. We just stayed in the hotel room, watched TV, and we just ate, but it was nice. We did walk around, you know, the little neighborhood, surrounding neighborhood, and everyone is outside right now taking pictures because the whole hotel is lit up in Christmas lights. So Everyone's out there taking their picture.
You got the Christmas vibes.
Right. It's if you're not like a like someone staying at the hotel, they blocked it off. You can't go in to like the courtyards and stuff.
Oh, you can't go in to see it, walk around. What about the restaurant's closed.
The restaurant's closed, so they block it off if you're not staying at the hotel. So Leo and I were able to walk in and out and walk and stuff like that. So we kind of had it all to ourselves, but only really this morning because we literally got up and then, oh, we got to come back home. But we walked around like 20 minutes, but I wish we would have taken the time to just walk and really see everything because we didn't see everything.
Okay, guys, so I posted that you were there. You know how you had tagged me.
Uh-huh.
I'm used to Facebook lingo.
On Instagram?
Yeah. You had a, what is it called?
A story?
No, that's not tagged. What is it called? Anyways.
I take that out. Yeah.
So our friend Anna, we used to work with Anna, Nichelle Anna. You remember Anna?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, of course. Hi,
Anna.
But I wanted to make sure it wasn't like an Anna event I knew. So Yvette doesn't know Anna.
No.
But she texted me that place is haunted. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Have you been there? And she's like, yeah, my brother didn't believe in ghosts until we stayed there.
Really?
Yes.
What's the story?
All right. Well, that I have her message here.
She gave
me permission to read her message here.
Hey, girl. So, hey.
Okay.
All right. So thank you, Anna, so much for your story and for commenting.
Thanks.
Here we go. I'm going to read it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She said, first time I was there for my cousin's birthday, we had dinner at the restaurant there, and then they went back to their room. They were getting ready for bed, and you can see on the bed sheets a body figure. We thought it just stayed there from one of us laying down. When we were talking, one of the girls felt someone holding her really tight on her thigh, and we laughed. And in parentheses, we didn't know the history. So I don't think the dude was haunted, but I could be wrong. The next day, she had a huge bruise with fingerprints on her The next day, she had a bruise with fingerprints of a hand on her thigh.
Oh, shoot.
Wait, she didn't do anything at that moment? When she was feeling somebody grabbing her?
Well, maybe they were drinking. Maybe they, like, disregarded that she was she...
Oh, okay.
Like, I can totally see myself being at a place like that and you saying, like, oh, my God, you know, like, puro relajo, you know? They were right. just laughing at her.
Yeah, if you guys are just hanging.
Yeah, and then the next day she had the bruises of a hand on her thigh, like the fingerprints.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
You could hear talking, but couldn't understand what was being said. You can feel like someone is watching you. And that was her experience.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Well, if I'm being all honest, you guys, I'm good. I'll just be fully transparent. I was a little high yesterday, so I don't know if I saw something or not.
Hey, you were telling me the right way, girl.
Yeah, I was a little bit too high, and I don't know if I was.
You're like, if you saw Casper, you're like, what's up, Casper? That's it.
And a lot of the time, like, you know, I was, you know, I had a little edible. So I don't know if I was like being paranoid or if I was just like, okay, girl, you're high. You need to relax. Calm down. So I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe you were too relaxed.
I wasn't really out paying like attention. I was just having a good time and I didn't want to think about it being haunted while I was high because I would just be more paranoid. So I was just having, yeah. I didn't, honestly, in full transparency, I don't know if I saw something or not.
Miss Yvette over here saying that she wouldn't do it anymore.
No, I'm just keeping
it real. I'm happy for you.
I'm keeping it real, you guys. Why am I going to lie? I was high. I don't
know. It's okay. It's okay. It happens to the best of us.
Because then you were able to enjoy your night.
Yeah.
As opposed to like thinking of freaking ghosts.
Yeah. And then I asked Leo if you saw something, would you tell me? He's like, no, I wouldn't tell you. He's like, because I know you would stay up all night knowing that I told you I saw something. So I know I wouldn't tell you. I was like, oh, okay. So we just didn't, honestly, that wasn't even like a conversation we had, like, oh, did you see something? I did. Yeah. Take a few pictures and post it just to let people know I was there, but I didn't see anything. And I did take several screenshots. I sent them to you guys.
Yeah.
And you guys are all, Naya's all zooming in. I just don't remember like seeing any. I don't remember seeing any.
Do you remember anything about
that? I don't remember. But it was really interesting. I would totally go back again. I just came back from San Diego. And as you know, like, Frank works in like a, you know, a medical facility. And so does my sister. She works in a, you know, a nursing home or whatever. But she was telling me that, that she was in front of a room because she was passing out medication. And she said, you know, I could see the lady in the room. She's like, she's paralyzed. She can't move. She's like, okay. She can't move on her own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was looking down at my med cart and, you know, I could see her out of the corner of my eye. Like I could, you know, in my peripheral vision, I could see her and I heard her ask me, well, I thought she asked me, oh, can you please cover up my foot right there? She's like, cause she kind of has like a country accent. And then I didn't look over at her, but I could see her out of the corner of my eye. And I said, yeah, Joan, I'll be right there. And then all of a sudden she's like, I saw the sheet of the bed like lift. And then I heard her say, oh, thank you so much.
No.
And then she's like, I turned her around. She's like, her foot was covered. She wasn't even talking to me.
Body joke.
I'm like, no way. She's like, yeah, I looked over and she was not even talking to me. Something covered her foot. I'm like, no fucking way.
Someone covered her foot.
Yeah. She even said, thank you. And I was like, oh, you're welcome. And then she's like, wait. And she's like, what the hell? She's like, yeah. And that old, it's an old building in Santa Ana. It was built in the 1800s and it used to be a children's ward. And she says there's a patient also there
that he has a lot of insomnia and he always complains because the children don't let him sleep at night because he says they're always running around. That he says he hears children at night running around and playing and they don't let him sleep. Yeah.
Wow.
It was.
All right, ladies, I got a really good story for you guys this week. I really hope you guys enjoy it. My first question to you guys is, do you guys know who Bob Lazar is?
I do.
No.
I do, and that makes me excited.
Oh, okay. When did you learn about Bob Lazar?
I don't, and that makes me excited because I want to learn.
The first time I heard about Bob Lazar, excuse me, was I was listening to my Uncle Joe Rogan.
Oh, okay. And so that was recently then.
Yeah, well, I think it was 2019. He was on the show.
Yeah, like a year
and ago. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. I hadn't heard of him until he was on the show. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was throwing me for a loop. And then he referenced that they had a Netflix special. And I watched it.
It's a documentary.
Yeah. And I love it. It's so makes you think. I like that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. His story is very, very interesting. I first heard of Bob Lazar when I was like 10 years old.
Oh, shoot. Really?
And that's when I heard his story on the news, that's when I became super like into like aliens. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there is the possibility of life out there.
And he's so consistent. Like, he doesn't seem to be like pulling your leg. Like, it almost looks like he wished he didn't know.
He actually does say that. But yeah. Before we get into the claims that he made, I want to give you guys a little bit of background so you guys get to know who Bob Lazar is, how he grew up, where he went to school, so you guys know he's not really talking out of his butt, you know?
Goodness, grab your popcorn, guys.
I know, grab your popcorn, get your drink.
This is good.
Everybody, here we go. All right, so Bob Lazar is an ex-government scientist who was hired by the U.S. Navy to work in a secret classified base known as S4 out in Nevada near Area 51. Mm-hmm. There, he claims to have worked on reverse engineering an alien spacecraft that the government had in its possession. Bob was really the one who put Area 51 on the map because nobody before the 80s really talked about Area 51. And once he came out with this claim, it exploded, and then everyone wanted to know where S4 was, what Area 51 was. So yeah, he's the man. But before, like I said, we get into the claims, I want all of you to get to know the kind of guy he was. Robert Scott Lazar, or Bob, was born in January 26 of 1959 in Coral Gables, Florida. From a very young age, he had an affinity for technology and electronics. His mother tells a story of waking up at 6 a.m. with a loud bang in the house because Bob decided to put a jet engine on his bike and take it out for a spin that morning.
Oh, my God.
How old was he when he did that?
She didn't say, but she says that these are the constant things that they would find him tinkering with is that jet engine. He attacked his bike and he almost blew up the house.
That's cool.
His parents were always worried that he would blow up the house because of all the little inventions he would come up with.
Bob
graduated high school in 1976. He then headed to Pacifica University to get his bachelor's degree in physics and electronic technology. Then he went off to MIT and got his master's in physics. Then in 85, he came to California and he attended Caltech and got his master's in science of electronic technology. For full disclosure, though, there are several investigators and major news sources who have tried to track down his school transcripts and records, and no one has been able to confirm him ever attending any of these colleges or universities. Let me explain why. Yeah. Bob.
Because of Obama, eh?
Bob has physical diplomas he received from these universities, but his theory is that the U.S. government, in order to discredit him and the claims that he made, erased all of his schooling records.
Makes sense.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, he went to
MIT. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, well, doesn't he have him like hung up on his wall or, I don't know, in a file or something? I mean, we all keep our diplomas somewhere.
Yeah, because it's not. Mm-hmm. I did go to school, and I'll discuss it into further detail, but ooh, he did retain several like jobs where he's like, you think these places would have hired me straight out of high school? No, no, I needed a degree. So that's his theory, because he says that his schooling, he has diplomas, but the government deleted or scrubbed all that from its history. So now for the main event, the claims that Baum made in the 80s. In May 15th of 1989, he appeared in an interview with investigative reporter George Knapp of Las Vegas, Nevada, TV station KLS, under the pseudonym of Dennis. He didn't use his real name, and he had his face hidden, so it was all black. You just saw a shadow in the interview. There he discusses his employment of S-4, a facility that he claims existed on the Nellis Air Force Base installation known as Area 51. He claimed the site consisted of a concealed aircraft hangar built into the side of a mountain out in the Las Vegas desert. Wow. I know. In order to get to this location for work every day, Bob would meet in a remote pickup location near EG&G, fly to Groom Lake, where a bus with blacked out windows would take him and other employees to S4.
Holy moly.
This is every day.
Dang. Top secret.
Yeah, he was never told exactly what he would be working on, but he figured it had something to do with advanced propulsion. On his first day, he was told to read a series of briefings, and immediately he realized this was advanced propulsion. He also read briefing documents that described the historical involvement of Earth for the past 10,000 years with extraterrestrial beings described as gray aliens from a planet orbiting the star system Zeta Reticuli. So this was all given to him on his first day. He was given like, okay, you need to read this. This is what you're going to be working on. And he was given other briefings of like alien life and other like a star system. Damn. So that's when he's realized like, whoa, okay, like this is
what's really going on.
Yeah, like this is really like serious, you know. Yeah. So he says that he was excited to go to work, and at first he's working on this technology, and he's thinking like, oh my gosh, like we could do this with this and we can do that with that, and what if we were to do this. It just, he's like, it hits you all at once,
his light bulb started going on.
Yeah, like because he's a really smart guy. Starts thinking of all the things that we could do with this technology, if us
as mankind,
yes, if the public knew about it. But then like it just becomes, you go to work and it just becomes normal to you after a while. Wow. It, you just get, at first you get, your mind gets blown, and then it just becomes really normal. So Lazar said that his job was to help reverse engineer one of the 9 saucers the government had in their possession, which he alleges were of extraterrestrial origin. He claims one of the flying saucers, the one he claimed he coined as the sports model, was manufactured out of a metallic substance similar in appearance and touch to stainless steel. Lazar has claimed that the propulsion of this saucer he was working on ran on an antimatter reactor, and it was fueled by element 115. So let's talk about chemical element 115 real quick. So when Lazar first came out with this talk, with these claims back in the 80s, he started talking about element 115, element 115. Well, element isn't 115, it's not something that was on the periodic table back in the 80s. And everyone was saying that the claims he was making were absurd, ridiculous, and the scientific community had no knowledge of element 115, that he was nuts.
Yeah.
Well, in 2013, his statements gained more credibility when a group of Russian scientists managed to create element 115. Yeah. And now, 12 years later, after the achievement, the discovery of element 115 has finally been confirmed after many tests, and its existence is now verified.
And you know what? That sucks, because I feel like that happens to a lot of scientists. Mm-hmm. You know, they discover something, but none of the other scientists have. And they all point the finger at, you're freaking crazy.
Yeah.
You're bullshitting, you're crazy, pulling this out of your ass. And then many years later, I mean, we've seen it.
Yeah.
In so much history. Mm-hmm. This stuff repeats itself.
Yeah, so everyone said he was crazy, he's nuts, there's no such thing. And now they were able to recreate it. The only thing is that this element is so sensitive that it once you make it, it decays within seconds and you can't utilize it for anything so far. They haven't figured out a way to isolate it and contain it to where it doesn't die out or decay and we can use it.
Okay.
So far, they haven't got there. Okay, so let's get to the bottom of Bob's claim. So Bob stated that this unique element helps generate a gravity wave that allows the vehicle to fly and to evade visual detection by bending light and gravity around itself.
Oh my God.
So his best way of describing it is saying, just picture putting a bowling ball in the middle of your mattress and how the mattress just hugs, kind of hovers over the bowling ball. And if you were to put your foot or your fist and press down on the mattress, the ball would easily move. That's exactly how this element works in creating the anti-gravity to move the UFO. So Lazar has repeatedly hinted that he took a piece of element 115 from Area 51 and that this element is of great interest to the federal government.
Oh, that's
what he said 30 years ago. Lazar said the seats of the saucer he saw were approximately child size and that he had seen alien cadavers corresponding to that same size.
Oh.
I know, isn't that creepy?
I remember that shit is mind-blowing. So
it's one thing to see a body, but then to see an alien body, like...
Yeah. He also said that while walking down a hallway at S4, he briefly glanced through a window and saw what he interpreted as two men in lab coats facing down and talking to something with long arms on a chair. He mentions that the nickname they used for the aliens was the kids.
E.T.
The kids.
Just kidding.
Oh.
The kids. But that's what I imagine when you say long arms and he was short.
Oh, well, I'm sure they were talking. He was talking about the gray aliens. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Bob claims that the government was testing these spacecrafts over Papoose Lake in Nevada and they flew them every Wednesday night. So Bob decided, while he was working at S4, that he would tell people that they were test driving these UFOs every Wednesday, and he took friends up there, and they even recorded the saucers taking off out of the side of the mountainside of this hidden base. And he did this for 3 weeks in a row. He took his friends, like, "Hey guys, look what I'm working on." And boom, they would see him.
Holy moly.
I know, super nuts. So let's talk about some of the things that have happened to Bob when he went public. First of all, he came forward to show his face and he gave his real name out of safety reasons. He would have remained anonymous, but because the government was harassing him and threatening him, he thought, no, I need to show my face and tell my name in case anything happens, because he realized they scrubbed his school transcripts so they could easily get rid of me.
Yes, that's smart. That's
they want to make him disappear.
Yeah, totally. They
and then we'd all be on that if they don't.
So Lazar claimed the U.S. government was now waging an all-out covert war against him. He said that that one of his tires got shot out of his car, and they erased all of his educational and employment records. Before working for the government at this S4 site, he had a job here at Los Alamitos at the Alamitos National Laboratory, where he worked in the physics department. There he worked with particle beam accelerators and other physics stuff. And George Knapp, the investigative reporter who broke his story, tried to no avail to get information from Los Alamitos about his employment. He was persistent, and they persistently denied that Bob never worked there. They said, nope, he doesn't work here. We don't know who he is. Who is this guy? No, we have no record of this guy. But George was able to find a 1982 employee directory from Los Alamitos Laboratory where Bob's name is written inside.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, what about this?
Yeah, like, you know, like.
Yeah.
There's also a Los Alamitos news story that they did on Bob because he had a jet dragster that would drive up to 200 miles per hour. In that news article, it stated who he was and where he worked at Los Alamitos Laboratory. So why would this news source lie about where he worked? So clear that to Bob that the government clearly went to these former employers and either threatened them, scrubbed their data, and has them denying that he ever worked there.
Damn.
They even got rid of his hospital record where he was born. He contacts the
hospital. Wow.
They say that no one by that name on their that date of birth was ever born there.
Damn.
Yep.
Wait, what's the point of that, though? Just to not even... Oh, that's weird.
Which creates more of a mystery, in my opinion.
Yeah,
leave him as a guy that's been in and out of jail, or just create something like, yeah, his name is Bob, but he's been in and out of jail. You know what I'm saying? Versus just erasing him altogether, it creates a bigger mystery than who he really is.
Yeah, I agree. I think they did it. I think they probably thought, okay, let's just scrub him like he never existed. Mm-hmm. Let's kill his ass, and you're out of here. But maybe since he went so public. It's hard to get rid of him now. Like, if he were to disappear, all of his fans, his followers, everyone would be like, what the hell? It would be harder to
anything sure. him right now. We would be on it. We not on it, but we'd be more skeptical.
Like, exactly.
This guy didn't just vanish. Where is he at?
Yeah, I agree. So Bob has taken 4 polygraph tests with professional polygrapher Terry Tavernetti. Tavernetti runs a corporate security operations firm, and he's a former Los Angeles police officer. He has concluded that there is no deceit in all of 4 tests that Bob took.
And that's what they say. His story hasn't changed since, what, the 80s?
Yeah, his story has been consistent for the last 30 years. And he's actually refrained from doing a lot of interviews because he's like, I just don't want to talk about it anymore because people just want to hear me. Hear what I have to say, and they're just waiting for me to mess up. But I've been accurate about what I've been saying this whole time.
Yeah.
So, also, there was one thing that he did say, aside from also mentioning Element 115, when he would get dropped off at the base in order to enter this subterranean base, he didn't have a badge that he scanned. I'm sure he had a badge, but aside from them looking at your identification, he had to place his hand on this scanner, and he said it wasn't like a fingerprint scanner. It actually measured your bone density, the weight of your hand. And when he brought this up in the 80s, people said, there's no way. There's no such thing. There's no such thing.
Yeah.
There's no technology like that. And sure enough, years later, they showed him a picture. He's like, yep, that's exactly what we were using. And everyone's like, wait, everyone's saying that this was not real. It never existed. He's like, I told you guys. That's how they verified who we were. Yeah. Like, they weigh your hand, they check your bone density, measure it, so they know it's you and not someone trying to sneak in.
Somebody always going to have more technology than what we are exposed to in our daily lives. Like,
yeah,
I'm not sure.
I read somewhere that the government has technology and weapons that is like years in advance that they've been working since like the 80s that to us is like, oh my gosh, when did they work on this? But it's like they've been working on this for years. They have like a lot of advanced technology that we have no idea.
Yeah, I totally they believe have. That.
So after he passed these polygraph tests, in the years after his initial claims in the 80s, Lazar largely returned to a private life. He eventually opened a business called Nuclear Scientific, and it's a scientific supplies and equipment store based in New Mexico. Then it was moved to Michigan, and then he moved it to Oregon. He sells things from radioactive ore to ammonium nitrate, and his website reveals that the business caters towards exotic and potentially the dangerous side of science. Mm. So he sells like exotic elements and stuff like that at his store, and you can buy this shit online also if you want.
If you want, do you have a website?
Yeah. So, United Nuclear Scientific was raided by the FBI and local police in 2018. So this is his business. During the raid, Lazar was in the process of shooting a documentary, the one you spoke of earlier, which is out now. It's called Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. He was recording that documentary with Jeremy Cormel. He's the producer. So Jeremy and Bob were in contact during this raid. And in the documentary, you see Bob and Jeremy texting back and forth. Bob is letting Jeremy know, hey, I'm being raided. This is what's going on. You have to watch it so you get more details.
Watch it, guys. It's good. It'll definitely make you think.
Just for sure.
Give it a try.
Totally watch it. It's Bob Lazar, Area 51, and Flying Saucers. So the documentary was able to capture some of the stuff that's going on.
Good.
Because of the raid. Okay. But according to reports written by Michigan State Police, the events leading up to the search of United Nuclear began in 2015 when the mysterious death of a 31-year-old Janelle Streusel happened. The doctors concluded that Streusel was poisoned and died of thallium toxicity, and thallium is an element that's colorless, odorless, and tasteless, and it's described as a poisoner's poison due to the high toxicity level and how difficult it is to detect if someone were to consume it.
Oh.
So Janelle passes, she's the subject of this homicide, and they do the toxicology report, and the coroner starts looking at it, and they notice this high level of thallium, supposedly. Mm-hmm. So thallium is often used in manufacturing of electronics and also the manufacturing of glass and other pharmaceutical stuff. Mm-hmm. So the Michigan State Police report suggests that the police believe that one of their suspects may have purchased this material used in Streusel's murder from Lazar, from his website. The documents note that the investigators obtained search warrants of the suspect's Google, Yahoo, and Bing search results and seized computers and other data from the suspect, which led them to question Lazar.
You don't say. Oh, it's all linked, huh?
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
So days prior to the raid, Jeremy and Bob went out to a remote area where they wanted to talk about Element 115.
Okay.
So Jeremy tells Bob, let's go and talk about it. I only have a camera. It's just me and you. Let's put our phones away. So Jeremy takes their phones and he throws it out somewhere like far away from
them. Idea.
Yeah, so they're talking about Element 115 or whatever.
You know his phone's probably freaking tapped as can be.
Totally. So Corbell and Lazar claim that during the search, the FBI agents were able to repeat back verbatim the conversation they previously had where they were discussing Element 115.
What?
Yeah. So the FBI was listening to the conversation they were having.
When they left everything, mm-hmm. they left their phones.
So yes.
What was it? What could it have been? Was a guy of...
No, I don't think Jeremy, the producer, was in on it. So Lazar didn't believe everyone involved in the raid was aware of his work on the alien spacecraft, or he didn't believe that they knew about Element 115. However, Lazar was explicit in saying that at least two mysterious individuals at the raid were absolutely concerned with his past and knew of his conversation with Corbell about Element 115. They asked me to go upstairs and commented on the location of Element 115 and Jeremy, end quote. That's what Lazar said in the interview. Both Lazar and Corbell maintained that the search had nothing to do with the thallium poisoning and insist that this was merely a cover story from the FBI in order to obtain Element 115. Because if you guys remember previously, Bob said that he had a piece of Element 115 that he took from Area 51. So the government is interested in knowing, does he really know about this element? Is he trying to recreate it? What the hell is going on?
Does he have it? They probably don't want anybody to have it other than
that. Right, of course. Yeah. So Jeremy and Bob think that this was just a cover-up in order for the...
Mm-hmm.
For the government.
Like they made up the story.
Almost. To seize his computers, documents, and throughout this whole raid, Bob cooperated. He gave them all the information they were looking for. He never got interfered or got in their way. He was 100% cooperative with them. Like,
damn,
whatever you want, you can have. But he thinks that this was a cover-up. I'll end off with a quote from Bob. He says, after 30 years, I'm a bit tired of constantly defending myself, and I have no intentions to continue doing so. End quote. Finally, when he was pushed on whether or not he might one day reveal that he has a sample of LMM-115, he says, if I had some, you think I would reveal it to confirm my accounts? Absolutely not. So even if he had it, he would never tell anybody that he had it.
Well, I think I heard somewhere where he was like, it's just so heavy. Like, how it would just change everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even now they ask him in that documentary, would you say something? Now looking back at everything that's happened, would you say something? Was it worth it? And he says, probably not. He says he wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
Because.
Oh, they destroyed his life. Said, definitely.
I have nothing to gain from all of this. This has been more negative than positive. He's like, it's affected my life for 30 years. Even with just the recent raid, like, he can't shake them off because they're constantly watching him.
Yeah.
And what he's doing.
I mean, the fact that they put the phones away and he's talking to someone he really trusts.
Privately.
And then, yeah, privately, I'm assuming probably a rural area. Like, they probably didn't go to a coffee shop. I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's what I would have assumed. And then they still, I mean.
They verbatim, they repeated back his conversation that he had privately with Jeremy. And
that's got to make you just realize, like, no matter, you can't get away.
So
there's no getting away.
No, there isn't. There's like, now you're totally screwed. So his reasoning behind coming forward was because he felt that the public should know that there is civilization with higher intelligence than us out there.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, we should know that that is something that is out there. There's no question if maybe there is, and we should know about it. Second is that he felt that the government should not be suppressing science or this advanced technology. He felt it should be known.
Mm-hmm.
But now he says, 30 years later, he reflects and he says, maybe they don't tell us for a reason, because he says if this element and if this technology were to get out, it would completely change everything.
Everything.
And everything. You don't know if it would change it for the better or for the worse. Mm-hmm. So that's my story for today. What did you guys think?
God. Woo! That was a heavy one.
Is it?
Makes you question a lot of things.
It's so intriguing. Like, I love it. I love his, I mean, I feel bad for the guy, but I love his story. I love what he's seen.
If you were in his position, would you say something?
I think it's too hard to put myself in that position. Like, part of me feels like, because he had said, and I don't remember because I've seen, you know, two things. I do remember him saying, like, this would change everything. Like, why would we not want to better everything? But maybe he's realized, like, wait, it could be negative effects.
Well, I think if that element were to come out, right, and we were to get hands on that technology, it would also ruin a lot of industries, right? Like fuel, gas. And
yeah, we don't need you anymore.
Exactly. It would change a lot. Obviously, there's other things that would replace it, but a lot of those people aren't.
But even though I'm not, like, I'm not science savvy, I'm not at all. But I do feel like something like science, like, why not, you know, like, evolve? Why not do better?
Yeah,
why
totally.
Not, like, he, like how he said, like, we're oppressing this. Like, why not tell? Like, why not just do better as a whole, as mankind? Like, science is such a great thing. I mean, it's facts.
In the right hands, though.
True.
Yeah. It's
this case is reminding me about that whole new scandal with Rebecca Jones. Have you guys heard about it? Yeah, about Florida. It's this researcher that I guess in May got fired. She was working for the health department and bringing up COVID numbers. But I guess she's claiming that she was fired because in the government, she was not manipulating the numbers the way that the government wanted to reflect the numbers, and she was giving them the right numbers. So recently a video came out that they went into her house, they raided her house and took all her computer and work that she had been working on afterwards because she's giving too much information.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, you fuck with the government. You don't make your ass disappear. It's really trippy. But a lot of if you guys want to know more about Bob, I recommend you guys going on YouTube. You guys can watch the Joe Rogan Experience. He's on there. He's on there with Jeremy as well. They discuss the documentary.
It makes me want to watch it again. It's good,
It's
guys.
good. It's about 2.5 hours long, and you can see physically see Bob getting stressed, anxious. He even has to take a break because he's getting such a big headache from the
Yes, he
stress
was
of it.
suffering from migraine.
Yeah, because he gets re easily overwhelmed by just having to tell this story over and over again. So what you should definitely watch that. Also watch the documentary. It's called Bob Lazar, Area 51, and Flying Saucers. It's really, really good. If you guys want to know more about Bob and get more details, I highly recommend you watch those two things. Obviously, there's tons of articles. The Wikipedia page is the kind of so-so. It doesn't really give you a lot of details, and it's not in order. So I recommend at least watching the podcast. It's free, and you guys get to hear it straight from the horse's mouth.
Correction. Is it free on Spotify or is it free
It's
till the
free
end
on
of the
you.
year? Because Joe Rogan merged over.
Well, it's free on YouTube now,
For
so.
now. Yeah, so watch it by the end of December. Also, just a side note, when he was working at Area 51, something I found kind of interesting when I had heard was that whatever the employees were working on, the scientists, they were specifically working. So, like, you
It
know
was
how you have a
compartmentalized.
team? Yes. It was like you're working on this specific thing, and you don't need to know what happened
With your
before,
neighbor.
what's going to happen after. You work on this.
Yes,
And I thought that
that's
was
correct.
really interesting because then, I mean, a lot of us, we work somewhere where you know where a product goes before, where a product goes after, or I don't
There's
know, even
processes,
something,
yeah.
you know the process, you know? And then when he was working at Area 51, it was specifically like, this is what you're doing. Don't ask questions. Don't ask where it was, where it's going, what your neighbor's doing, what your coworker's doing. No, like, this is what you're doing.
On just need to know basis
Exactly,
kind of thing.
because the more you knew, the worse it was, or maybe they just didn't want you to know
No,
more.
I that way he did mention that the information of his job description was very compartmentalized. He didn't know what his coworker was working on. They didn't know what he was working on, and this is how they avoided a leak. Or like how this happened. Like he only knows, like he had blinders on to what he was working on, and that's it. And they do it for this exact same reason. Him, someone like leaking this information. Imagine if he knew what his neighbor was working on, and this person, it would just be more to have to contain. And it's just this one person, discredit this one person, what they were working
I
on.
think it's also easier for them to discredit him.
Exactly,
Like, what are
because
you
nobody
talking
else
about? Where is it
knows.
going? Like, why would we do, you know, I don't know.
It's crazy. Yep.
Good job,
Thanks,
Yvette.
guys.
Well, guys, if you like this episode, hit those 5 stars. If you're listening on Spotify, please follow us and
Yes, please.
forward our episode to anybody you know. Your
Yes.
mama, your daddy, your neighbor, the cubicle next to you.
Please don't contain this amazing podcast to yourself. Please share the wealth.
And follow us
Spread
on
the word.
Instagram. We're
Yes.
actually gonna need a Facebook page up.
Yes, we're gonna do that. So for those of you that
As soon as we have it, Chrissy's going to give it to you guys.
Yeah, Christy, when are you gonna get that out?
Well, I'm having a little bit of a technical difficulty, but it's
Why?
coming. It's coming. It's coming.
What's your technical difficulty?
It's gay. I'm not savvy.
Oh no, we have user error, not technical difficulty.
That's user error,
Okay,
exactly.
this is that.
But I was
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to us today. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Remember to stay curious.
Bye.
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 Hey guys, just wanted to update you that we have our email and IG up and running. Please send your comments and suggestions to thecuriouscatpod@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at Curious Cat Podcast.
Please rate, review, subscribe, and tell a friend.
Stay curious and remember, curiosity killed the cat.
Wow.